Okay, it's 4 minutes after 12. We're here until 1 o'clock. We've now got the lunchtime social debate, and it's kind of a two-pronged thing. We're talking roads, the Arrowton to, well, it's Arrowton's in the middle there.
Arrowton Main Street, yes, it's closed.
It's closed completely.
It's closed, yes.
And it's closed for about 12 to 14 weeks.
Yep, depending on the works.
It's upset a few people in the area.
It has.
Who's upset then, councillor?
Well, I think obviously the local shopkeeper's upset because there's a small village shop there, and I would imagine probably 50% of his trade was actually passing trade. You know, people passing through the village on the way to work, on the way home, picking the kids up. So obviously his trade's dropped. The owner of the Fighting Cocks was talking the other day, and because the road closure sign is up at Apps Heath stating that Arrowton is closed, his trade has also dropped because people aren't venturing far enough to see that there is access to the Fighting Cocks. But in fairness to Island Roads, they are trying to divert people before they actually venture in and think they can still come through, because living on the main road as I do, the amount of cars that have actually been through thinking they can still perhaps nip through the barns or, you know, still get through the roadworks, and 2 or 3 minutes later you see them come back down the road and they've got to go all the way back again. So, you know, the road is effectively closed.
Okay.
But the businesses are still open.
But you've got access to your house?
I've got access to my house at the moment.
How do you get that access to your house?
Coming in today, I've come from Arrowton up to Apps Heath and through God's Hill, Rookley, Blackwater and into Newport. So every time I come to Newport, I'm going 8 miles out my way.
So that's quite a long way.
It is quite a long way.
Now, obviously, there's probably reasons why they've shut the road. They haven't done one side of the road and then done the other. I would imagine, I can't speak for Island Roads, but I'm guessing because of the depth they're going down,
yeah,
it would be maybe an issue if they just took half of the road and ripped up half of the road, because there is danger of it collapsing, going up so high or going down so low, whichever way you want to look at it.
There was actually, on the 1st of April, and don't take any notice of the date at all, but there was a meeting at the Dairyman's Daughter pub in Arrowton, which is part of the barns, and there were about 35 businesses together with Island Roads, and majority of those businesses voted to get the work done as soon as.
Right.
And it was, they did state that parts of the village they could have done with a two-way traffic system with traffic lights, but because of the depth of the road and how much they had to dig out, it would be quicker to do it the way they're doing it with a full road closure, and it's happening in four different phases. So at the moment I think they've partially finished phase one and they've moved on to phase two, but they have to dig down, they've got to put two, maybe three separate layers, and then they have to resurface the road, and whatever those layers are, they need time to settle rather than just resurfacing it as quick as and having cars drive over it. Because don't forget, Ian, every road on the Isle of Wight is, in essence, just a dirt track.
It is at the moment,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
And they've all fallen away, the amount of rain we've had. I mean, everybody knows that our roads are in a dreadful state, you know, but it does appear now that Island Roads are actually starting a massive programme of resurfacing works. And to their credit, if this is going to be done properly and we end up with a fantastic main road right the way through, because that is probably one of the busiest roads through the island.
Let's be honest, they are doing it properly.
Yeah.
We're going down a foot.
Yeah.
12 inches, they're skimming off the top.
Yeah.
So you know damn well that that's going to be a really, really good road. And yes, okay, it might mean that you're going to be put out for the next couple of months. But having said all of that, you know, how damaging is it for the businesses? You know, three months of a real hit on your trade. You know, could we see people, you know, struggling as much to actually wind up their business?
I think at this moment in time, because we are the Isle of Wight, and I think a lot of the Isle of Wight is word of mouth, isn't it? I mean, I actually went up the Dairyman's Daughter and had a Sunday lunch on Sunday, and we managed to drive the car. We went all the way round and we parked in their car park, you know, and the pub was busy. It wasn't as busy as it usually was for Sunday lunch, but the pub was busy.
Yeah.
So as word gets round, I mean, don't forget, it's only been a week. It's only been just over a week, so...
It's been a week, but yeah. Then, you know, people are upset, people are annoyed, and people are losing money.
And I can understand that, but I think from the business's point of view that attended that meeting on the 1st of April, it was better to do it now than it was right the way through the summer, which would have been the summer holidays when the children were off school, which is the main tourist trade of the island.
So why didn't it get done between January and February?
Because of weather. Just, I know it wasn't wet, but nobody can predict the weather, least of all the weathermen. And I think with frosts, wet weather, it wouldn't have been as viable to do it at that time of the year.
Okay, so why wasn't it done September, October, November time, when it would have been cooler?
I have...
Well, not quite as cool, but not summertime.
I have no idea. I can't answer that.
Don't feel I'm putting these questions to you.
I want you to ask questions because, you know, obviously people want to know the answers to them. And the parish council, most of the parish council was present at that business meeting. And, I think the right decision was reached for those businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right as well. And I think it's just a case of, come on, you've got 10 weeks, just bite your lip. But having said that, it's had such a knock-on effect because it's not just the people of Arrowton that have been affected by this.
No, I know.
Because lots of people have messaged in. Now, we've got Brian Curtis has been out and about. There was a meeting yesterday and he's got some interviews with Peter Alexander. Do you know Peter?
No.
Peter is from Thompson's Garden Nursery.
Oh, right, yes.
So this is how the interview went.
Just ask you a question then?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, and you are, sorry, what's your name?
Peter.
Okay. Peter, you run a garden centre on the Arrowton Road, which is now closed. How's this affecting your business?
It's affected the business. We are basically, within a week, 40% down on takings. All the little nurseries and garden centres along the Arrowton Valley, this is their busiest 10, 12 weeks of the year. All garden centres and nurseries make all their money, all their profit, this time of year, and the rest of the year you just keep on going but not really make that much of an income. So at the moment this is crucial to us. We are fortunate in that we've got other outlets, so I know that our target figures are exactly correct. The business has been going 30 years, so that's how accurate I know that I'm down by 40%.
And of course with the garden business there's a lot of preparation. You've already been growing plants to sell.
Absolutely. We've got...
Where's this going? There's
two other issues with regarding to this. We have nurseries on the mainland, which actually grow for this garden centre as well as other mainland garden centres. And we have nurseries on the island, which actually grow for the mainland garden centres. So what is actually happening, our lorry now from this week onwards will be coming from the mainland half empty. So our transport costs have increased because we're only putting half as much on the lorries. And the nurseries on the mainland, which have actually grown for the Island Garden Centre, will actually have a wastage because our figures, again, are that accurate. We can't afford on the nurseries to waste too many plants or pots or compost, so we don't overorder because that's just a total wastage. So we do grow exactly to the number that we need, and this is going to obviously affect that.
And what would be a better solution for your business?
For us, I think it would be incorporating traffic lights. I know that some of the other businesses are suggesting other things, but I think in general... I know that the
All right, we're gonna leave it there because the audio. I'm hearing lots of other people that were there as well, but he says traffic lights there. Would traffic lights be the answer? Do you think?
I think where that business is, the road is open.
Well, you heard the cars going by.
There are not any roadworks at all on that section of road from Apps Heath up to the Fighting Cox Crossroads, and people are still able to access from Sandown Way.
Right.
And to be able to turn off right down to Thompson's Garden Centre.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so moaning about nothing then?
I wouldn't say that because as an islander, sometimes you do pass places, don't you? And you think, oh, I'll go and have a look in there. And, you know, I can't say that because obviously that man has stated that his profits are down, and I can't dispute that.
Okay,
well, all I can say is that road is open and his business is accessible.
So is it accessible from both ways?
It Newport Way, no.
Right.
People would have to come over the Downs.
Okay. So there is trade going one way but not the other.
Yeah.
So it would be fair to say that that is probably the reason why his profits are down, so to speak.
It would be.
Numbers are down.
If people are buying bed implants, from my experience, if you're used to one nursery and buying your plants from there, you'd surely go back and buy them from there.
Well, there is that as well. You know, there is that as well. I know when Ruthie Bennett has been in touch. Now, Ruthie is a business lady. She works, she has the While You Wait services in Newport, in Pyle Street. And she is, she's been a business lady most of her life since she's left school. So, but she says, not really, and it's because basically I'll put a message on it. Is anyone frustrated? Is anyone else frustrated with this malarkey? I've called it a malarkey.
Yeah, it's a malarkey.
Going on in, you know, the Arrowton Main Road. Not really, Ian, says Ruthie. You just get on with it. At the end of the day, it's got to be done. We are getting to work via Godsill and Rookley, but hey ho, that's life and it's not forever. I mean, is that? I mean, to me, that's probably the best attitude to have.
Because
moaning and groaning ain't going to do anything about it. But I admire the guy from Thompson's Garden Centre. He's highlighted a problem. He's highlighted an issue. And if it was my business, I would be concerned. But also, there is an added thing here where he's just had 3 minutes of advertising.
Yeah,
by
free
way of
advertising,
news,
yeah.
By way of news. And, you know, that's not just on this station. I would imagine other stations and the county press are covering it as well. So, you know, but you would also think that if you were going to have some kind of sale on, you know, in this, you'd put something on now, wouldn't you? You'd counteract it. You'd do something to counteract the fact that you're going to lose some money, maybe get people in there, maybe hire Vectis Radio to do an outside broadcast, maybe just come up with some different ideas. This is people that you know, instead of, and I don't mean to be, this might sound horrible, but instead of thinking negatively and looking inwardly, look outwardly. You knew it was going to happen, so put something in place, you know.
And I think the other issue is, I mean, I think Ruth's got a fantastic outlook on things. That's how I'm viewing things. Whether things will be the same when I can't actually access my house, which may happen for 7 to 10 days, you know, that I'm not able to take my vehicle to directly outside my house. But on the other hand, years ago we all used to walk everywhere anyway, and people have been moaning for 2 years that Island Roads haven't done anything.
Yeah.
They're not resurfacing roads. They're not doing anything. There are major, major roadworks going on all over the island at the moment. And, you know, I think we've just got to grin and bear it. You can't moan about something, and then when something is being done about it,
sure,
be moaning about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is only, you know, 10 to 12 weeks, but can't stress enough, if you run a business and, you know, you're struggling, it's right, okay, you ain't going to earn any money for 2 to 3 months. That's going to be a worry.
And I can fully understand that, but going back to the Barnes, they've been advertising on Facebook, they've put things on, you know, open as usual, and that's something that doesn't actually cost anything, isn't it? Just to let local people know. I mean, I've been trying to share in my bit as a parish councillor, trying to share all the Barnes posts that they've put out, just to let the community and friends of mine know, so that people will think, oh yeah, that's on her Facebook page, so the Barnes is still open. You know, that man could have done the same, really.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking anyone, you know, if he's got loss of business, that's dreadful. But by the same token, we need our roads doing.
Yeah, no,
there's no
quick fix here.
There's no easy fix.
Mark says, yes, Ian, the road through Godsill was already showing massive wear, and this is only the second week, plus the buses and HGVs passing each other just on the corner and the general public walking on the road. It's all an accident waiting to happen. I know the road has to be done, but 3 months come off it. Do you think it will take 3 months?
I think Island Roads will do their utmost to do it as quickly as possible, because obviously it's not a scenario anyone wants to be in, is it? But what I would say to Marco is that amount of traffic you're getting through Godsill, we have through Arrowton every single day, not just for 12 weeks,
right.
It is every single day, and none of our roads on the island are built for the amount of traffic that's using them.
So, I mean, I'm looking at this and people are saying, well, what about the timing of it? You know, questioning the timing of it. I'm working it out and thinking 12, 13 weeks, it should be done by the time the summer holidays get here.
Yes, that's what they're aiming for.
So, I mean, that's a positive thing. Let's put that out there so people know. RC Bridgestock and Bridgestock. They said agree totally with Mark. We walked through God's Hill last week and it was frightening. I'll be honest, it's quite frightening to walk through God's Hill at the best of times because it is one of those. It's a bit like Brading.
It's a lack of pavements, isn't it?
Exactly.
And a thin road, you know, for the vehicles to pass as well.
They should make it one way. Maybe there's a way around. Anyway, that's going off track. Maggie Jones says, trying to get off and onto my estate in God's Hill is a total joke. And this morning, driving over to ride to work, I couldn't believe it when I got to the top of the Downs Road by turning for Brading, only to discover the road to Ashy was shut. I then had to turn towards Brading and go that way to ride, only to turn into Ride to discover, yes, you got it, another road closed. It's so frustrating. And tomorrow they are shutting the Broadway for 4 days and 4 nights, I believe, so no more rerouting to do.
Right, okay, so, well, I can't comment. I know nothing about the Broadway or anything. I just think we are spoilt on the island. If anywhere takes more than 15 minutes to get to, we think we're in a traffic jam, don't we? Hmm. We think we're having a rough trot because we've got more than 50. Some people commute for 2, maybe 3 hours in the morning to actually get to work. Hmm. You know, so a road closure isn't even going to come anywhere near that, is it?
Okay, well, let me just chuck someone out there so we are covering it. You know, you mentioned that someone has to do an extra eight miles.
I do. Yeah. I do to get to Newport,
To get to Newport, you have to do an extra 8 miles. You just imagine if you had to do that every single day to go to work. Not only is it time-consuming, but also it's going to drink your petrol.
But you'd allow time for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd allow the time.
You'd allow the time and you'd think, crikey, you know, I filled my petrol tank up twice as much as I would have done normally.
Yeah.
But what's the alternative?
Well, but when people are penny pinching and living on the, living on a shoestring, that's going to be quite difficult for them, isn't it?
But to counter argument that, what about when your tyres are all shot on your car because of the road surface?
Well, they have been for years.
You can't have everything, can you?
They have been for years, and no one cared about it then, did
and
they?
And like I say, you know, I appreciate both points of view. You know, and I can perfectly see both points of view.
You have to. And I'm with you on that. You can see. And, you know, what we should do is say, right, OK, well, just shut up and get on with it. But it's not as easy as that.
No, it's not, because last week there was an accident up on the Downs, and I think it was only 2 or 3 days into the roadworks in Arrowton. Mm. And everything that had been going on the Downs Road was shut because of a road accident. You know, and you kind of think to yourself, well, where do you go from now?
Yeah.
But the island is a small place, isn't it? And you can find ways round things if you need to.
Okay, look, this is Derek Curtis. Now, I've not heard any of these audios, but Derek Curtis is from Amazon World.
Uh-huh.
How in just explain, Amazon World is on the almost Fighting Cox.
It's
close to Fighting Cox.
The right turn off as you come up to the Fighting Cox. It's actually just behind Thompson's Garden Centre.
Okay, so in your mind, how should they be affected by this?
I would imagine they probably are affected by it.
More so than Thompson's?
I've got no idea.
Well, let's find out what they've got to say.
Matt, just ask you a question then.
Yeah, go on then.
Right, and you want... Sorry, what's your name?
Peter. Oh, hang on. This is the same guy.
Peter, you run a garden centre.
Don't worry. Let's do this one.
So how is the closure of the road through Arrowton affecting your business?
I think our business has been affected dramatically. We're probably 75% down on last week alone. In fact, last week we had 2 blank days, which was the first time in 22 years we've ever had blank days in April. And I think we are struggling big time. And it could be very easily sorted just by sorting the signage out or putting a two-way traffic system or even a one-way traffic system in so the traffic moves. I think that'll make a big difference. I think also on the top of our site there's Thompson's Nursery and Jubilee Nurseries opposite. They're also suffering dramatically, and I know Thompson's are very much down over 50% on their beddings plants. So frankly, I think it's a disaster.
And Amazon World have a lot of overhead with animal feed and things like that.
Phenomenal. I mean, our animal feed bill per year is 134,000. Obviously, we have a massive staffing, vets bills, live food is incredibly expensive. So every penny at this time of year, it makes a massive difference to the way in which we operate. We live on the money we earn from now until September, and then in November, December, January, February, there is virtually no tourism on the island whatsoever. So we have to live on what we've earned in those months. So to take 12 weeks out of that period is a huge loss to us.
And the signage is a problem because tourists are being directed away before they even get near your business.
Well, ironically, when we originally understood that the signage wouldn't start until it got up into what we call the Fighting Cocks Crossroad, which is where all the businesses are around, and now that the signage is now back as far as 2.5 miles back, telling people not to bother, not to come this way because the road's closed, which in effect, it's wrong because all the businesses are open down this road and they could come up right up to, as I just mentioned, the Fighting Crossroads, and then everyone could survive still. So it's pretty bad, yeah.
And the solution you think would be perhaps a one-way system or traffic lights?
The solution is, first solution is signage. To get the signage sorted immediately, to tell people, yes, it's all open up to a given point. And secondly, either a two-way traffic light system or make it a one-way system. At least there would be movement of traffic. It would also help the villagers, Godzill and Newchurch, which are absolutely clammed up now with HGV and everyone being diverted. They're all trying to find routes. So all these little villages that are not built for people, for lots of cars, are now crammed up all the time. And as I think I mentioned earlier on, or someone mentioned, that we've had already about 4 accidents in the last 7 days.
And this is all a knock-on effect of the road closure?
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Derek Curtis of
Amazon World.
Amazon World.
Thank you very much.
Talking to Brian Curtis of Factus Radio. I wonder if they're actually related. Now, just to make a point off the top of that, it's going to sound like it's tongue-in-cheek, but there's maybe some common sense to it. There we are talking about the snarl-ups on the roads and the roads can't handle the amount of traffic and so on and so forth. Those people that are planning to build a bridge or build a tunnel or whatever, just take note. We've got too many cars on the Isle of Wight anyway. You bung a load more on and we're just going to come to a standstill. Whether the roads are good or not, it ain't going to make any difference.
Yeah, and actually listening to that report, Ian, I mean, obviously that's the first time I've heard it. That is dreadful to think that business is down 75%. Mm. And rather than talking to your reporter, they should be talking to Island Roads.
About what, though? What can they do?
He's just said about signage and about, allowing traffic up. Traffic is allowed up to the Fighting Cocks Crossroad.
Right.
It is allowed up there.
Okay.
There is signage at Apsheath stating that the road is closed from the Fighting Cocks Crossroads.
Right.
But there still is access to those businesses. And maybe that's what Island Roads or that business needs to put across to the island.
Okay. Well, it's important. They're obviously, in the previous person that was chatting, he mentioned the fact that the signage was a bit of an issue. Mm. So I'm guessing that, they obviously are from the area, they've seen the signage. Why do you think they've got it wrong then?
I've got no idea why they've got it wrong, who's got it wrong, who's to blame, but it doesn't matter what was being done, someone will complain about it anyway, but, I'm quite concerned that obviously they're losing their business. But all I can state is from last Monday when those road closures started, 3 days and yesterday, I've travelled out in my car and I have had no problem whatsoever getting back into the village of Arrowton. It is open through for access and for businesses. I've not even been stopped. Where are you going? Nothing. So, I don't understand why their potential customers aren't going, because once they got there, they'd be able to see that they could turn off to those businesses.
Okay, so what time is the day are you going out then?
I went out yesterday morning at 9 o'clock in my car. I came out this morning at 9 o'clock in my car. The road is open as far as just by the community centre at Arrowton.
Right.
For vehicle access.
Okay. What about
But it's not open Newport Way coming back into Arrowton.
Right.
My Litlin is having to walk a mile up the road to catch the bus at Down End to catch the school bus.
Right.
Okay. The school bus isn't coming into the village.
Mm.
At one time, we weren't even going to have a Southern Vectors bus. We weren't even going to have any public transport through the village. But there is now a shuttle bus that comes from Wimford Cross up into Arrowton. It turns in Hazlycombe and then it goes back the way it's come. So if a double-decker bus can come up as far as Hazlycombe, I'm sure people trying to visit those businesses could get through to those businesses.
Okay, so put now your colours to the mast. You live in the area.
I live in the area.
You're a parish councillor.
I'm a parish councillor. I know exactly what's going on. I didn't realise that those businesses were as far down as they were with their profit margins, as they've just stated. And that's really concerning because obviously nobody wants to see any business, you know, struggling.
Is the signage enough?
As a resident, the signage is fine and I've not had any problems. I went Friday evening, I went out and I returned home via Godshill and I went out to Freshwater, came back, returned via Rookley Godshill the same way as I have been doing, the 8 miles out my way to get to my house.
Mm.
And they were resurfacing the road outside the Fighting Cocks. Access still available to my house. There must have been 4 or 5 Island Roads vehicles, all with yellow flashing lights, all resurfacing, whatever they were doing, and I just got waved through. I never got asked where I was going because they are maintaining access.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, in your opinion, they've got more or less everything in place that they need to do.
I think there's everything in place. Obviously, if businesses aren't happy, their first port of call should be to Island Roads.
Right. Okay. So, what do you then expect them to do?
If it's a question of traffic lights, signage, whatever, notice in the county press, businesses still open, or maybe the council allowing those businesses to actually put something out on the grass verges and things further up into Apsheath to say that they're open. I've got no idea. I haven't got any answers in. I can only say as it is from my point of view as a resident.
Do you know what? I think that we lack here, not just on the Isle of Wight, but, you know, let's just deal with the Isle of Wight for now. We lack joined-up thinking.
Mm.
Because when did you have the meeting?
The meeting was the 1st of April.
So you've had a... How long have you had before the first closure?
Two weeks, three weeks? Just over 2 weeks,
Do you think that's enough time to have a meeting and then act on what comes out of the meeting?
Maybe not in hindsight, but I don't think that meeting... That meeting that was held with businesses, I don't think it was meant to lead to a vote of what should we do.
No.
I think the argument was put forward of a full road closure. I think the argument was put forward of two-way traffic lights. I think the argument was put forward as a mixture of both.
Mm.
And at the end of it, and I'm sure it was someone from the business because I was at that meeting, someone from one of the businesses said, let's just get it done as quick as possible. Why don't you just do a vote?
Yeah.
And that's how it went, and a vote was taken, and out of those 39, 40 businesses that were there, it was overwhelmingly to shut the road and do it as quick as possible.
Okay, but now obviously they've realised that some of them have realised, some of them have realised that, hey, look, this isn't working for us.
Mm.
This isn't, you know, what we need right now. We need to have people coming in through the doors and so on and make money. We didn't realise it was going to be as bad as this, but... I also, the reason why I say there's no joined up thinking is because, you know, they've had a meeting and this is not an attack on both sides, but it's a prod on both sides, if you like. Hey, look, you should have had a bit more between Island Roads and the residents, maybe a few more meetings, maybe a few more discussions, maybe someone, you know, as a resident, as a business holder as well, to just sort of say to Island Roads, right, we need to sit down with you. I'm the elected person to sort of have a chat with you, just to talk about the technicalities and so on and so forth. And by the way, would you have any, you know, would you worry if we did this as a business, just to sort of make sure that we made the point that we are open, you know, putting up some extra signs or whatever. You know, it doesn't seem to be the joined up thinking that there should be. And I think that's a bit sad, but it's also on both sides. It's almost like after the horse has bolted, we moan and groan, when maybe we should have spotted there was going to be a problem first off.
No, see, I think that statement that you've just made is probably a bit unfair on Island Roads, because I, as a resident, not as a business, as a resident, have had four bulletins put through my front door by Island Road staff keeping me up to date on what's occurring.
But at any point did they say, hey, look, if you've got any ideas yourself, you know, or is it a case of this is how we're going to do it? You get to choose. These are the choices, but this is how we're going to do it.
Not as a resident, they didn't. No. But there's a website. You can phone them up.
Right.
It's all on the letterheads that are coming to me as a resident. So those businesses are still getting the information that I'm getting as well. So, you know, a week on and they are struggling, maybe they should be speaking to Island Roads about an alternative, because there's another 10 or 11 weeks of it.
Long and short of it, there isn't really an alternative. The alternative is stop what you're doing, put the road back the way it was, and don't have a nice road.
Exactly.
So it's a case of bite your lip, ride the time, because it won't be long.
Well, I think for the businesses, it is a long time, isn't it, to try and ride the time if you're losing.
But the sad thing is that people won't, and this is why we've tried to engage with Island Roads a few times to get them in. It's not that we want to attack them or anything like that. It's to ask them questions so that people are made aware of the situation and so they can understand better. Now, certain people have said, you know, in messages that we have, they've questioned that not the road that is closed, but they've questioned the roads surrounding the roads that's closed. You turn one down one, and guess what? There's a road closure. You then go across the downs, you get there's another road closure. It's almost like, right, this is a major road that's going to be closed. Some people might think that the best thing to do is, right, pull all your resources, never mind all the other road closures, concentrate on this one, get the job done, and the more people you've got on it, the less time it will take. Now, some people might see that. We need to ask that question, and Island Roads need to be able to answer it and say, yes, that's a good idea, we'll do that, or no, that's a really bad idea, and here's the reasons why. That's the problem we've got.
And again, sticking up for Island Roads, I was at that business meeting, and it was explained in depth how much of the top surface they'd have to take off, how much they'd have to fill it, how long it would have to take to settle before they could put another surface on it, before they could resurface it.
I'm not disputing that. That's the question. But the question I'm asking is not when they're doing the roads at the Arrowton Road, it's the other roads that will cause a bit of an issue, you know, i.e. the lady that was mentioned, that the Ashy Road was shut. Well, you know, if the Ashy Road is shut and there's a diversion, it makes sense to not have the Ashy Road shut. Whilst this road is being done, let's have the surrounding roads all open.
But I think the Ashy Road was shut, was it not, for a burst water main or something?
I don't know,
so,
to be honest.
So, you know, there are forces beyond our control, whatever, isn't there?
But again, you think that, I don't dispute it, but this is where, you know, a bit of communication, come out and answer the questions. And we've asked Island Roads to come in so many times and they just will not. And it's and I hope they're listening now, because it's not a case of come in and we'll roast you. Nothing like it. It's a case of come in, people are asking questions that you need to answer, and once you've answered them, they'll probably be fine. They'll understand, there'll be more understanding of the situation. You know, you've just put the point across there that it may have been a burst. Well, that answers the question. So we can stop getting stroppy and upset about it, or can't
stop
we?
Stop getting stroppy at Island Roads, because, you know, it's beyond their control.
Now, Tory Blaine. See, I like the name Tory. I'd change it to Tory Blame. Wouldn't you? Tory Blaine. Anyway, Tory Blaine is a resident of Godshill and a mother of a schoolgoer. I was shocked to witness the ignorance and dangerous behaviour of traffic going through the village, especially when overtaking and observing the buses dropping off the school kids and elderly residents. The size and weight of the vehicles diverting through the village is ludicrous, and the roads are getting worse daily. Whilst I appreciate the need to work on the highways, I can't wait for this madness to end.
And I don't blame her. And, you know, I've been three children over 27 years walking through Arrowton, and I've seen the traffic through Arrowton increase horrendously. And at 4:30 past my house, when that first car ferry chucks the great big lorries off, delivering to the shops and things, they've been rattling down the road where the road's been spared. You know, and I can fully appreciate what Tory's saying, but the island isn't built for the amount of cars that it's got on it.
Okay, look, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break and come back.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
This year's Walk the White will be the 25th anniversary. It's on Sunday the 10th of May. There are numerous walks. Bembridge to the Needles, 26.5 miles. Bembridge to Carisbrook, 12.5 miles. Carisbrook to the Needles, 14 miles. And the Flat Walk, Sandown Bay Academy to Shide Trees. This year's Walk the White on Sunday the 10th of May. Walking to raise money for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. More details are on www.iwhospice.org.
Sponsored by Isle of Wight Feet in Shanklin. Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. My dad's chiropractic surgery is in Shanklin, or he can visit you at your home. Call 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Are you ready, boo? Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots, lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 40778 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Are you wondering what to get people for a present this year? Why not have a family portrait? Ticks all the boxes and it's totally unique. You need Holly Cade Photography. Holly Cade Photography is not just for birthday and Christmas presents. It can be for weddings, parties and much more. Individual jobs can be tailor-made to suit your needs along with reasonable prices. For more details, contact Holly Cade at hotmail.co.uk or visit hollycade.co.uk.
I'm Isana Geisler and I've been participating in the 4Ps project at Vectors Radio. If you participate, you will learn to podcast, produce, promote and present on the radio. It is completely free and it is aimed at children of the age of 10 and under the age of 20. You will learn all the fundamental skills to present and talk on the radio. It has personally boosted my confidence. You should try. If you want to participate, call 07817 1656 17 or email ianmac1965@gmail.com.
White Trash, 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 Trash. White Trash World, the home of the island's very own skate brand, White Trash. 59 High Street Ride. It's open Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. 10:30 till 6 p.m. Not just about skateboards, it's clothing, gifts, shoes, books, DVDs and more. The island's only skate store, White Trash World. Ride High Street.
Here estate agents, independent estate agents covering the Isle of Wight. Call now on 01983 620 062 to take a full advantage of our fantastic commission offer of 1%, no VAT. Also, visit our website www.peerestateagents.co.uk to see helpful advice on selling your home and all of our current properties available. Call today to take full advantage of this limited offer. 01983 620 062 or email inquiries@peerestateagents.co.uk.
Hello there, I'm Andy from Hamilton's Fine Foods. And I'd like to introduce you to some of the new things that are happening in Hamilton's. Our newest venture is our new shop in Dodner Industrial Estate, where we have available hot sausage rolls, hot coffee, hot pies and all sorts of other things for your lunch. We're open from 10 till 4 daily. If you're working in and around Dodner Industrial Estate, please call in.
Hamilton's Fine Foods. You'll find them on Dace Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
All right, welcome back to part two of today's Lunchtime Social Debate. We've done the Arrowton Road thing, which hopefully, fingers crossed, will only be another 10 weeks, but if we let them get on with it, it might be quicker. Now, I just want to just change tack slightly, although this has been talked about so many times, and just think, in just over a week's time, we might not have to discuss it for a while, possibly 5 years. Who knows what's going to happen in the election, which happens on Thursday. I've got a horrible feeling that nationally we're going to have... maybe, because all of these people are sort of pinning their colours to the mast and they're saying, well, I'm not going to work with them and well, there'll be no coalition from us and so on. So no one's going to have a clear majority. So you're going to have a government that ain't going to be really, like, in step, working with each other or so on. So I find it quite amazing that, you know, when you go back to, I think it was in the 1970s, possibly 1973, that they had two elections in 1 year because they couldn't...
Yeah, we found that out, didn't we?
They couldn't actually come up with an idea of working together. I just got a horrible feeling that's what it's going to be.
What I'm amazed at is how can people predict that it's going to be a coalition government before people even vote?
See, I believe that they shouldn't even be allowed to say that. Because it may sway your votes. And my belief is that they shouldn't be swaying your vote in that way to counteract any coalition. It should be about straightforward, you vote for the party that you want in power. All this coalition malarkey is going to have an effect on things. I wonder just how many people would vote in a certain way, take the coalition idea out of it, but then all of a sudden there's that threat of a coalition, people will vote differently. Now, that shouldn't be right. That's not right at all.
But how can they predict something before it's even
happened?
Well,
they can't. But
they're surmising.
They are surmising, and they're probably panicking people. Well, hang on a minute, we don't want the SNP involved.
Yeah.
So I put this on Facebook yesterday. In the last 100 years, it's a bit of a history lesson, in the last 100 years plus, there has been 22 Ireland MPs, 12 Liberals, 10 Conservatives and no other party. It would appear we don't like change on the Isle of Wight. Could this year be the one where we get where the form guide goes out of the window? Tories are in disarray. Liberal doesn't actually live here. Are there enough sheep to vote in one again? So 22 comments, quite a few comments here. Dean says, I believe the Lib Dems vote will fall off the edge of the cliff as they are punished for coalition partnership. There we go again, we're talking about coalition partnership. I fear that we may all end up being represented by UKIP. Kevin Barclay J says, no change, Tories to win with a reduced majority, Lib Dems second, Independents third. Now, I agree with two-thirds of that. Because I've got this feeling that the Tories will win with a reduced majority. I don't see the Lib Dems in second. I see them, as Dean's saying, falling off the side of the planet. And the Independents in third, well, possibly second, possibly third. That's the way I see it. Dean says, more acrimony within Tory ranks today. If Lib Dems are second, I would be amazed. The Tories may go to what UKIP... in the thousands, Ian. And Kevin again says they won't. Ireland Tories would vote for a pug in a blue tie, and there aren't enough stupid people on the Isle of Wight to vote UKIP to come even close. Labour will have its best result in years, is a prediction of Kevin Barclay Joe, who used to be in the Labour Party. I hope you're right, Kevin, says Dean. I, like many others who voted tactically last time and will never forget it again, I'm ashamed the party I voted for were instrumental in allowing the Tories to bring in despicable bedroom tax cuts to the most vulnerable people, and this ridiculous notion of austerity. Fool me once, Lib Dems, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But that will never happen again, as you are collaborators in the Tory cause. Angela McCurtry says, vote Labour and let the SNP run the country. No thanks, she says. I quite like the idea of... She seems to come across as quite sensible. Am I getting this wrong?
I think she comes across as quite sensible, but I don't think the issue of Scotland... departing from the UK.
That's the problem. That's her issue.
Yeah.
That's her problem.
I don't think that's gone away.
If she'd let that one go...
I think that's probably top of her agenda.
But if she let that one go, I think she's got a really magnificent chance. I really do. But she won't let it go. You know what she wants at the end of this. Mm. It's all about. Yeah. It is all about Scotland. And I still believe that they were dealt a tough old blow last September. I really do. And I think they've been continuing to have that tough blow as well. It's controlled.
Respect to Nicola Sturgeon, though, she really knows what's good for her country.
Well, it's a bit like the German Chancellor. I just think she comes across as a really lovely person and very switched on. And Nicola Sturgeon has got that sort of...
She's got an edge about her, hasn't she?
There is an edge.
She's tuned in and tuned on to what is best, and she's fully focused on obtaining that. But I still think the issue of devolution for Scotland is top of the agenda.
I think if it wasn't her agenda, I think that people would be looking at her and welcoming her with open arms, because she seems to talk a lot of sense. Now, Dean says, Angela, Labour fought the SNP tooth and nail in a bid to retain the union. The only people perpetrating this ridiculous myth are the Mail, the Scum, Sun, and the other Tory media, because they know how the Tory campaign has been an abject failure. Mick Lyon said, Labour used to come across second to the Tories before the rise of the Liberals with Steve Ross, and Ross had to have several goes before he managed to break the Tory stranglehold. That's absolutely correct. Mick Lyons, as for the UK, he says, even if they increase their vote above the national poll, they will only go from 5,000 to 20,000 and get around 8,000. It's not enough. Yeah, but just bear in mind, they got 15,000 votes last year in an election, the European election, that didn't really matter that much, but 15,000 people got off their backsize and voted UKIP last year. Some people might say that's a protest vote. Okay, I don't get the protest vote. People were angry enough, or they were looking at UKIP thinking that that was a positive step. I don't get the positive. I don't get the vote thing that they're calling it. I say people have voted. Beware, 15,000 people got off their backsides and did it last year for someone they didn't even know. Now, I'm not saying that most of those people would know Ian McKee, but at the same time, he may think that he's got, and that's probably why he's quite confident, he's got 15,000 supporters. All he needs is another 5,000. Pick up a few on the way, and you never know. I say that someone will win this election with 20,000, as little as 20,000, and that's not happened in our lifetime.
Mm.
That little amount.
It's quite scary, isn't it?
It is.
Because I think, you know, particularly the island, and I think countrywide, people hopefully are going to be more inclined to vote for their own area.
Yeah.
Something that will benefit their area.
Okay. Do you want some more amazing facts, or do you want some words of wisdom from people? More from Mick. Mick says, no, I tell a lie, he's finished. Angela, I've heard this myth from many political commentators as well. I know at least 8 die-hard Labour voters who will not vote Labour because they do not like the SNP and the tone of their leader, who makes Thatcher look like Mother Teresa. Time will tell. Labour won't side with SNP. The SNP would allow them, would show them up. They will slide with the Tories in a major party coalition, as it happens all over Europe. Mick says, I won't vote Labour because I don't like some other party. I don't like some other party that I can't vote for anyway, and who will probably not have that much influence. Die hard Labour voters? I don't think so. SNP is just another Tory distraction to avoid debating the issues that matter. And Dean says, you put that brilliantly well. So Lisa comes up with, and I like this, Lisa, most of the people I've spoken to are voting Green. There's only one thing that is a certainty in this election. We will know only after the votes have been counted.
And that's the be-all and end-all, isn't it?
It is. There's some more words of wisdom here from David Nove. I predict Andrew Turner will be re-elected. Nationally, we have a changing landscape. Back in 1951, way before my time, he says, and ours too, I hasten to add, 96% of voters supported either Conservative or Labour. If opinion polls are to be believed, up to one voter in three will not support either of the big parties. If this trend continues, the prospect of either Labour or Conservative ever having an overall majority at Westminster is reduced. This could mean that Westminster is run by various coalitions. I think David hits the nail on the head there, because I think that is what's going to happen. And those people that are Labour and Conservatives, I say to them, maybe, because at the end of the day, for many, many years, you were the front runners. Now, because you lot have screwed up over the last few years, you know, other people have decided to stand because they can't stand what you've been doing. So maybe you've got to take a good, long, hard look at yourselves and change your ways. Because otherwise, in years to come, there might not be a Conservative Party or a Labour Party, because this time round, I think you're absolutely right, we are going to get an array of people.
I think we are. I think the whole country is so disillusioned with the main parties. And going back to the Liberal Democrats, I actually voted Liberal Democrat last time. What I didn't
vote
for... No, what I didn't vote for was for Nick Clegg to raise tuition fees.
Well, that's a beef of lots of people.
And at that time, he was my main man. You know, he was actually somebody that I'm really going to vote for, this chap. But, hey, we live and learn.
Well, you do live and learn. Richard Valvona says, what's wrong with the SNP? They are brilliant on a national level, them in a coalition, and Labour would be best for the UK. They would persuade Labour to adopt progressive policies and benefit ordinary people and change business as usual, once and for all. On a local level, I'm going to vote Ian Stevens, Ireland Independent Parliamentary Candidate 2015. He would be the best representative for the Isle of Wight. And I really don't get why people keep voting against their own interests as well as people who choose not to vote. Geoffrey Hughes says, I think you must vote for local issues. A local man, Binstead, is good enough for me. Mr. Stevens has been good in the past. We are a small island. Vote Isle of Wight Independent, says Geoffrey Hughes. Mrs. J says, there's only one option in my opinion after listening to the interview on Vectis Radio, and that is I'm voting this year for Vix Lowthian, the Green Party. See how we kind of even things up there?
Yeah, and it is. It's open, isn't it?
It is open.
Yeah, completely.
It's I don't know which is more interesting, the local issue or the national. I think the national has become a little bit spiteful and misleading, because like I said to you just now, I still believe that they should not be talking about, and some of the leaders have actually said, we're not going to talk about coalitions. You shouldn't be talking about coalitions. No. You should vote for your favourite. You should vote for the one that you want to vote for.
You should be talking about what you're going to do on your own as either a party, an individual, and what you're going to do for whoever you're representing.
Tactical voting is obviously going to make us come unstuck. I do believe that, you know, they should say, right, we have a vote. Whoever gets voted in represents. Maybe there isn't a prime minister. Maybe there isn't a leader. Maybe they just vote. They put things forward, they just vote. Why do we need a leader?
How would it be fantastic if they all got together and put their heads together and their ideas together and actually run the country for the benefit of the people that
together,
live in it?
Work together. Work together. Pull together.
That's never going to happen, is it?
It's never going to happen. Not in our lifetime, I don't think. Although, they may get the biggest kick up the pants
ever.
There
might be a little shudder on the way.
I think there may be, because as I say, I don't see the Conservatives, Labour, getting what they need. So they will have to bow down a little bit. How much they have to bow down will be interesting. How many other parties will then be involved is going to be a good yardstick, just to sort of kick them up the pants and say, hey, look, this country is in desperate need of change.
And I think the world will be watching. Look what happened in Greece only a few short months ago.
And we are going to be live from the event as
well.
We are. We're going to be broadcasting live. Kelvin Curry and Mark Newlands will be at Medina for the count. And I also believe there is going to be... I think there's a couple of other little elections going on. Town councils are going to be decided on the night, but obviously we'll be concentrating on the big one. And we'll be live in the studio, myself and Dominic Cole from The Breakfast Show. And obviously we'll be live from the Medina Theatre, or not the theatre, the actual sports hall, isn't it, for the count.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that. That'll be May the 7th into May the 8th. That'll be good. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Shall we leave it there?
Yes.
But before you go...
Yes.
What's your gut feeling?
I'm voting for my boy. I think Ian Stevens.
All right. this woman's not for turning. Or for Turner, either, just to say. All right, stand by then, because on the way, he's back, and they're back together, reunited. We are talking Kim, the Kim and Andy Show. Have we got that round the right way? The Kim and Andy Show is on the way next. I don't think you're going to hear anything. But they're on the way after the news, which is next.